Welcome to the Week 16 edition of X's and Omar. The Dolphins have done it. Their first winning season since 2008. But it seems like there's still plenty of work left to accomplish because they are in the driver's seat for a playoff berth. Two more wins, they're definitely in the playoffs. One more win, they might be in the playoffs. Probably are in the playoffs. And that win could very well come this weekend in Buffalo. We'll talk about whether or not they're going to do it alongside Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist Omar Kelly. I'm CBS 12 sports director Matt Lincoln. It's all set up after a dominating 34-13 win over the New York Jets last Saturday night in front of a national audience, if there was a national audience that knew there was a Saturday night game on, because I think there was.
I love Saturday night games. I think it's the right approach for the NFL once college is done.
Couldn't agree more. I just didn't feel like a lot of national people knew that that game was even going on that night.
Listen, are you saying that people don't want to see the Jets, the struggling Jets, and then the resurgent Miami Dolphins? One thing is, I think I love the fact that they were playing on national television because it was a great showcase opportunity for the Dolphins to show people who they were, even with Matt Moore as a starting quarterback, and they blew out the Jets. This is not a easy Jets team. We're not talking about the 49ers who the Dolphins struggle with or the Cleveland Browns who the Dolphins struggle with. This was a Dolphins team that blew out the Jets, a rivalry game. And to me, that was a big thing because we hadn't seen a convincing victory. I think the closest we got to a convincing victory is the Pittsburgh Steelers game, and that was at home. This was a blowout on the road. 34-13, Matt Moore throws four touchdowns. You see the cornerbacks, second corner interceptions, Cam Wake and Dominican Sue making that quarterback sandwich. Impressive win.
Matt Moore today, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, after not starting a game for 5 years.
Yeah.
Impressive stuff. Let's jump into it and take our first Twitter question. It comes from Americo. Adam Gase has an aggressive play-calling style. Has that benefited Matt Moore being a gunslinger?
Oh, definitely. I think they're both of the same mindset where they're aggressive. Even Adam Gase said, you know, the offense finally took off when he said, hey, why am I being conservative? Let's be more aggressive. It's important to establish the run, but if you've got eight in the box and they're trying to tell you, you're not going to run on us today, why not pass? Matt Moore can handle it. You know, this is a guy who's got 26 NFL starts. He'll start his 27th game against Buffalo. He's thrown a ton of touchdowns. He's one of the few backups in the NFL that does have a winning record. Matt Moore has proven that he's more than competent. And if you do know who Matt Moore is, the reputation of a gunslinger is valid. He's never going to see a single safety high look that he doesn't like and isn't going to throw deep. He gives his receivers an opportunity to make big plays, and that suits Adam Gase's play calling ability.
All that being said, he has been on the shelf for 5 years.
Yeah.
So we know who he is. We know what 2011 Matt Moore is.
True. That's a very valid point. But I think this aged, more mature Matt Moore, think of it like a fine wine. Think about how many offenses he's been in. He's been in three offenses with the Miami Dolphins. Three. So there's a lot of learning that goes into it. There's a lot of opportunity to watch and see and think to yourself, what would I have done in this situation? So we are getting to see the more mature Matt Moore. So maybe we turn down the volume on the gunslinger and turn up the volume on being a little bit more conservative.
Well, that would be the question, right? I mean, there's a reason why Matt Moore is not the starting quarterback of this team. That's because
Ryan Tannehill has all the money.
A.
That's my honest answer, by the way.
But B is that the reputation of a gunslinger has led to him throwing up some stink bombs, has led to him turn the ball over,
yes. I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons in my mind, my theory, why Matt Moore is still with the Dolphins after 5 years. He's comfortable. He loves South Florida. His family is here. He's a California kid. This is as close as you get to California. But does Matt Moore really want to compete? Really want to push himself to be an NFL starter? I've always thought he should go play for the Jets. He should go play for the Buffalo Bills because he could have started for both of those teams. Wasn't really interested. And they weren't interested in him. I think this is a great situation for him. Hopefully he uses this as an opportunity to elevate himself, and maybe he can be the next Matt Hasselbeck in the league.
Because it has been this long since he's had even competitive juices flowing. Because like we said, ever since that first off season, there has never been competition, even in training camp or practices, for Matt Moore. Okay, let's take our next question from Nick. Do you think this coaching is legitimate, or is this another 2008 where we made the playoffs then did nothing after?
That's a great question, and the question centers around the direction of the franchise. That 2008 season was led by Chad Pennington. Chad Pennington came in here, cut from the Jets, came in like the Pied Piper. I watched his first practice with the team and thought, oh my God, you are amazing. comparatively speaking to the quarterbacks, the Chad Hennies, the John Becks, the Josh McCowns that I had been watching. And Chad did not turn the ball over. Chad scored in the red zone, and Chad was a very efficient quarterback, NFL Comeback Player of the Year that year. But when he suffered his injury, the quarterback level went from an A to a D in Chad Haney, getting his start, young quarterback. And then we survived the growing pains. But was he ever going to be good? No. To me, that 2008 team was fraudulent because Chad Penny was the guy propping them up. You take out that quarterback, out that situation, you're not going to have the same kind of end result. This is a little bit different from this standpoint. This is a young Dolphins team. They don't know any better. You go in the locker room, and a lot of these guys don't even know that they're really talent-wise don't belong in the NFL. No disrespect. But there are about five guys on that roster, on the 53, that don't really belong in the NFL. And a lot of other guys who are starters that don't really belong in starting roles. But the coaching staff has masked it and called things appropriately or put people in position to be successful. That is good coaching. If we talk about Bill Belichick all the time, he'll take your leftovers and win with your leftovers. Well, it's good to finally have a coaching staff that can take leftovers and actually win with it. Now the question is, how much better can they make young players? We're seeing growth from guys like Tony Lippin and Bobby McCain and Jordan Phillips and Devontae Parker and Jay Ajayi and Deion Sims. You know, there's a long list of guys that we're going to see growth from, but that's growth from step A to step B. Well, we still got two more steps to get to where we need to go. So it'll be interesting to see how, if they can continue to trend upward.
And I would say that my two cents on that is you look at this roster, and talent-wise, it's not that much different than last year's roster.
Yeah. No, it's probably a little bit worse.
It's probably worse.
It's probably a little worse.
So the difference is toughness, guts, scheme, all these things that come from Adam Gase.
Probably a little bit worse. Yeah, a little bit worse.
All right. Next question from Tony. What do you think will be the biggest factor in the offseason for the Dolphins to build on their success?
Trench play. That will always be my answer. If you look at this offensive line, when was this Dolphins team really good?
When the Unicorns came back.
Yes.
The Steelers game.
It's no coincidence that with Mike Pouncey, who claims he's not going to need offseason hip surgery, with Mike Pouncey, they average 150 rushing yards per game. Without Mike Pouncey, they average less than 90. There's a huge difference there. And that puts a lot more pressure on your defense, puts a lot more pressure on your quarterback. You need to get back to the 150 again. So to me, depending on what they do with Brandon Albert, and I'm not sure because he's making a lot of money, he's aged, are you going to be willing to pay him $9 million for 12 games a season? I don't know. I think it's a great investment in my mind because I can see how he plays when he's healthy. But then what do you do with Mike Pouncey? You got to draft the backup. Jermon Bushrod is a free agent at the end of the year. He's 32. You got to think about, you know, and depth-wise, they're not very deep. Let's be real. They're not very deep. And then the defensive line. Good God. Yes, you got two Pro Bowlers. Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh were named Pro Bowlers. Wake turns 33 next year. Andre Branch is a free agent. Earl Mitchell is making $4 million. Is he worth $4 million? So you're going to have to start to rebuild that defensive line. You need two defensive tackles, two defensive ends, two linebackers. And I'm good with the cornerbacks and safeties.
Okay.
So think about all the things you need on defense where you're allowing 132 rushing yards per game. You need a lot of help.
You need front seven help and then offensive line help. All right, Luke asks, should Adam Gase win Coach of the Year?
You know, that's a good question. And I wrote a column in this week's Sun Sentinel making the argument for why Adam Gase should be Coach of the Year. This Dolphins team is the most resilient team in the NFL. There's nobody more resilient than this team. Come back from 1-4, fight through adversity, injuries where you lose Pro Bowl players, your starting quarterback, and still win. Who does that?
Yeah. I mean, 7-1 in one score
but,
game.
But I will say this. Jason Garrett's probably going to win it. You know why? Because he's got the best team in football, and he's doing it with two rookies. Another front runner, Jack Del Rio. Man, Oakland Raiders, I'm not a huge fan of Oakland. I've watched them a couple times. I'm thinking to myself, like, they're not that special. Just opportunistic, well-coached. But the fact that they're well-coached means Jack Del Rio should be in the running. Bill Belichick won without Tom Brady.
Never wins. 3-1. Huh? He never wins Coach of the Year.
He shouldn't, because media shouldn't vote for him. You're going to be a jerk to us. Yeah, we'll be a jerk to you.
All right.
Atlanta, Dan Quinn. Tennessee's Mike Mularkey. I think Mike Mularkey, probably in my mind, I mean, they were, I mean, he was just,
yeah.
He was just filler. That team's supposed to be sold, and you don't want a new coach when you're kind of in the sale, sure. And this guy just won.
Yeah, certainly. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
And I think the Dolphins are going to play them in the first round. Rematch. You don't want that, do you?
You don't want that. We don't want that. Only three teams. I'd rather go to Tennessee than go to Pittsburgh or Baltimore, and that's the other option.
Only three teams in the NFL, in the AFC, that and let's not talk about playoff matchups, because the Dolphins have to win one game, at least one game.
You talk about it.
Talk about it. Listen, I'm not comfortable talking about it, because in 2013, the final game, you know what we were doing as media
yeah.
contingent? We were booking hotels for who we would play, and then they lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
And it was like, ugh. So, let's not talk about it. Let's let them win one more game, see what happens in Denver, and then maybe we could talk about
okay.
it. But, yeah, Houston, I'm not scared of them.
No.
Pittsburgh, not scared of them. Baltimore, Tennessee, Patriots, scared. Right.
Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about what the Dolphins do have left. Let's optimistically look forward and say, okay, this is a pretty good team that has won, is it 7 of the last 8?
Yes, 8 of the last 9.
8 of the last 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly they're not perfect. Are they playoff ready?
No, they're not playoff ready. And here's the reasons why I think the Dolphins team is not playoff ready. Right now, with this patched up offensive line, injury decimated, Brandon Albert's playing with one hand. Laramie Tunsil's playing with one good shoulder. Jermon Bushrod's playing with one good leg. Craig Urbick is playing at center. He's just a career fill-in. You're struggling to run the ball. And you can blame it on the caliber opponents that you faced for every single week. But I'm sorry, but didn't the 49ers just rush for like 200 yards yeah. on that same Jets team? Jay Ajayi needs to look like the Jay Ajayi we had earlier in this season. And I understand that the holes are not there, but he needs to shed more contact. He needs to be sharper with his vision. You've got to get 100 rushing yards per game, and you haven't been getting that for the last couple of weeks. Then let's look at the defensive line. Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. They are tragically bad, like hold your nose bad, stopping the run. Linebackers containing tailbacks. They made Bilal Powell look like Walter Payton. It's just tragically bad
yeah.
in terms of stopping the run, containing backs, tackling. I don't know what you can do for the rest of the season with that linebacker unit. I would submit my vote of playing Neville Hewitt as the nickel guy. Just I know Neville Hewitt is not the intelligent player that Jelani Jenkins is, but at least he's got two good hands and he can tackle. And he is a former college safety. Let's try
this.
Let's do something because what you're doing is not working. Neville Hewitt did play in the nickel package last year.
Mm.
Put more on his plate. Even if you got to take him out of the base package, put more on his plate so that somehow, some way, we might be able to fix this issue that we're having from the linebacker situation. And you got to stop the run. You got to run the football better. That's how playoff teams play. Dolphins are right now, they might make it to the playoffs, but they don't look like a playoff team.
And they're taking on one of the best running backs in all of football. We'll get into that in a second, but let's take the next question from Clinton. Even though the run game has been struggling, how important is getting 20-plus carries to the offense to stay on schedule?
You know what? Earlier, before I saw a Matt Moore career highlight for the last every single start that he's made. I thought it wasn't that significant just because Dolphins don't utilize play action that much, or maybe they didn't against the Jets. Mm-hmm. But watching those highlights, I realized Matt Moore does roll out a little bit. He does move quite well and throw well on the move. So I'm going to say it's important. Balance is important, mm-hmm. always. Keeping teams off balance and not being able to have them dictate what you do, that's critical to success. You have to run the ball. I would like to see, and I thought about this yesterday. I was watching some successful runs from previous. Dominique Jones, the third string tight end. Yep. Remember he was having success during that Pittsburgh, Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He was cut blocking a lot.
Yeah, I remember that.
And just mowing people down. And cut blocking makes defenders pause a little
nervous,
bit.
Right.
A little bit nervous and hesitation. At the end of the year, in December, with players thinking about making it through the season healthy, especially teams that are not playing for anything, time to start cut blocking again.
Yeah.
It make people make business decisions. That's why I think Dominique Jones should play more, should be part of the two tight end package. Nothing against Marquise Gray. But Dominique Jones, he mows people down. And I think J.H.I. needs this.
All right, let's take our next question from Ron. What is the most unexpected stat of the year?
To me,
we love stats.
I do love stats. To me, it's got to be the interceptions and turnovers.
Okay.
Dolphins are top five in interceptions, 16 on the season. Imagine that. This same Dolphins team, the first month of the year where only, I believe, a linebacker had an interception.
Wow.
They've got 16 without Rashad Jones. Think about that.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. And not only does that not make sense, but let me put it to you this way. They're right now at top seven secondary in the NFL. I believe opposing quarterbacks have like an 84 passer rating. This secondary. Without Rashad Jones. This secondary.
With Tony Lippett.
With Bobby McCain. With Byron Maxwell. With Xavier Howard. Like this secondary, without Rashad Jones, with Issa Abdul-Kudus and Makari Rambo, a guy who was out on the streets till week seven, this secondary. Yes, a lot of that comes from the defensive line, you know. With Cam Wake back there and Andre Branch, you're not getting all day to pass, but they're making things happen, and it's quite impressive to see 16 interceptions.
And I think Lippett surely made one of the plays of the year on the interception that he had, but it's also been a lot of Kiko Alonso being in the right place at the right time. Linebackers might not be great against the run, but they have found themselves in the right places at times to make big plays.
Kiko Alonso, I'm not giving it. Like, what other linebackers made a play other than Kiko Alonso?
Mike Hull had the interception to start.
Okay, all right, I'll give you Mike Hull. Opportunistic. I made this analogy on QAM. This is a defense that will allow you to hit singles and doubles all day long. Mm-hmm. They just don't allow you to hit home runs because Dolphins don't give up that many big plays. We've got those two reverses, the Green AJ Green game, and that's it for big plays.
And the Marquise Goodwin touchdown in
the
Bills.
Oh yeah, Marquise Goodwin touchdown. I forget about that one all the time. And they don't allow you to hit home runs, and they want to throw you out trying to steal second.
Sure.
And they're pretty good at it. So they're a team where very opportunistic, and they get opportunistic turnovers. They get key and critical third down stops. I mean, they might let you drive the length of the field, but when you're in field goal territory, they'll get that third and six and force you to kick a field goal. It's quite impressive. Number one in the NFL in third down efficiency. This team.
The Dolphins. The
Miami Dolphins.
Well, it all just boils down to this new clutchness that people in South Florida have not seen in their team in long.
Yeah, we're used to that. We're used to the opposite of clutchness.
Right.
Well, the that's so Dolphin.
It's a new era. Maybe.
Yeah.
They haven't booked that ticket yet. Chris, how do you evaluate the trades drafts from last offseason now that you've had a season to see them play?
I am not huge on this draft class because I could really see two, maybe three players coming in and being impact starters for the coming years. I think the Kenyon Drake, decent returner, third back. Leonte Carew, he's had opportunities to play and contribute, not ready. Jakeem Grant, I'll just.
It's all right. It's okay. It's all right.
I'll just spare you on that one.
It's okay.
Xavien Howard, Laremy Tunsil, two bona fide NFL starters for probably the next 6 years if they can stay healthy. The rest of the class, now the trade, I like the trade because you got two starters for Laremy Tunsil. I initially didn't like the trade because I thought Ezekiel Elliott would be in that zone.
Yeah.
And I wanted Ezekiel Elliott. Clearly,
right.
He wasn't available at that point. Laremy Tunsil's a top five talent. He's available to the Dolphins. So the trade is great, especially moving forward. Keiko Alonso's still cheap. Byron Maxwell's playing well. He's expensive, but
That's what good cornerbacks cost.
Yes. I don't know if I say good, but yes, he's worth it. He's
almost good.
Above average. Above average. So, yeah, I like some of the offseason moves. I don't like a lot of the offseason moves. Mario Williams, bad move. Mm-hmm. Andre Branch, good move. Not addressing linebackers, except for Keiko Alonso, bad move. Adding Keiko Alonso, good move. Secondary, Issa Abdul-Kaddous, I'm on the fence. It's
sure.
Okay. If he pulls out another interception, thumbs up.
All right. Let's move on and talk more about the opponent that the Dolphins need to beat this weekend to feel really good about their postseason future, and that is the Bills. We said at the beginning of the season that to call yourself a playoff team, you've got to finish better than the Bills and Jets. And now the Dolphins have a chance to go 4-0 in those games.
Sweep the Bills and Jets. Ain't that something?
Wouldn't have thought of that in week five, huh?
No, I didn't think we would be
talking about that.
I thought the Jets were a playoff contending team. The Bills always start hot and then they fizzle out at the end. But then what do you know about Rex Ryan teams? They love to play spoiler.
Sure they do.
They love to ruin your season. How many times has Rex Ryan prevented the Dolphins from making it to the playoffs?
A fair amount. And it's
2013. I don't know if they were in running 2014.
Right.
But you know, he won the season finale that year to keep his job with New York. So Rex Ryan will always be the spoiler for the Miami Dolphins. He's on the hot seat. There's a lot of talk about him being fired. I think it's ridiculous because, sorry, no offense, Buffalo, but who really wants to go coach Buffalo? I know they're
only
30.
Who wants to go play there either?
Exactly. Which is why I've always had the theory that they fizzle out at the end of the year when your roster depth is important, when injuries take a toll on your team. Buffalo isn't exactly the place where free agents are just saying, oh, the last free agent that actually said, oh, man, I got to be in Buffalo was Mario Williams. And he did it for the paycheck. And then when it was time to leave, he was like, bye-bye, thank you. I missed nothing about Buffalo. He said that yesterday.
That's great.
I'm not looking forward to my trip to Buffalo. Let me explain my trip to Buffalo. Land, go to hotel, walk across the street to get something to eat, walk back to the hotel, stay at the hotel to the game, go to the game, go back to the hotel, eat at the hotel, go to the airport.
Do you have a jacket that you can?
Yes,
you
I have
something.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have snow boots or
you
snow
have
shoes.
Snow boots?
Yeah. Snow shoes. Like.
All right. You know, like the shoes with like the tennis rackets underneath, so you can walk.
I don't have any of those. I don't know.
You're going to do any cross country skiing while you're there. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay, so
I just want to make it out and get home for Christmas.
All right. The win over Buffalo a couple months ago was the beginning of when we started to see a turning point in the Dolphins' season. It was, I believe, right after the Steelers win when they.
I think we realized it wasn't a fluke a little bit after that. But yeah, it was when you punched an opponent in the mouth.
Yeah.
You embarrassed Rex Ryan. That's a starting point.
What from that game is going to help the Dolphins this weekend?
I don't know if there's much. The fact that Buffalo is not as forceful on the defensive line as they once were when the Dolphins played them, that's probably going to help the Dolphins. You know, they maybe have a little bit more success running the football. But then last time you played them, LeSean McCoy, hamstring, didn't really play.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Watkins, not available, foot issue. Both are back. Both are relatively healthy and pretty much impact players.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be issues that you're going to have to address. I think Keiko can do a decent, respectable job covering LeSean McCoy. I think he's familiar. Well, they were traded for one another. Keep that in mind. But he's familiar with covering those little shifty backs, and hopefully he can tackle a little bit better when with two hands. I mean, with his club on his hand. But Sammy Watkins, that to me is a little bit of a concern. I would like to have Byron Maxwell available. He's got an ankle injury. He's not going to be available. Let's just hope Xavien Howard is ready for that challenge.
All right, let's take our Twitter question. It is about LeSean McCoy from Justin. McCoy is going to play a pivotal role against Miami. What do they have to do to contain him?
I think this is going to be a game where you're going to have to dare Tyrod Taylor to throw by putting eight men in the box. Dropping a safety down and forcing Tyrod Taylor, who is a big play producer, to make those complicated throws to Sammy Watkins and Justin Hunter and Marquise Goodwin. Make them make lower percentage throws and force them to not throw those checkdowns to LeSean McCoy, because I think that's where you can do most of your damage, as we've seen with games like the 49ers and the Chargers. You attack the Dolphins in the middle of the field, and I'm pretty sure Buffalo is going to do that.
Taylor hasn't run too much this year, but he's always that threat to do that, too.
Absolutely.
On third and fourth to make it happen. All right, next question from Kyle.
Hey, Dolphins have struggled with those scrambling quarterbacks.
Sure.
They
sure
put up big numbers.
Kaepernick certainly did.
Mariota.
Mariota certainly did. All right, Kyle, which unit will be the biggest catalyst for the Dolphins' playoff push?
I'm going to have to put the sombrero on the linebackers. Yeah, look at that face. They're going to have to play well. They're like an anchor weighing this team down. And they're going to have to play well. Whether one of those guys gets a hand back, or Jelani's knee feels better, or Spencer Paysinger's neck heals up, or they put more on Neville Hewitt's plate, somebody is going to have to play better. You just really need two.
Sure.
You need two. You only got one. Like, find another one that can step up and contribute. Maybe put Hewitt in the nickel package and have Jenkins then be in the base package if you think that's going to help you. Somehow, some way, you've got to get better with those linebackers. And I think that if there's anything that's going to spoil the season, it's linebackers. If there's anything that's going to keep the Dolphins in the playoffs, it's going to be linebackers.
I'm going to cop out on that answer, though, and actually say I don't think Jay Ajayi is going to rush for 100 yards in Buffalo on Saturday. I think Rex Ryan is going to say, we are not letting Jay Ajayi win this game for us, which means that it's going to come down to Matt Moore. And it's going to come down to him playing like he did last week and not like bad Matt Moore.
Here's the thing about Matt Moore and this Jets defense, which is Rex Ryan throws exotic blitzes at you. He disguises his coverages. He attacks you from the edges. Matt Moore is real bad when it comes to blindside blitzes or feeling pressure coming this way. Mm-hmm. He can see it this way. He could step up in the pocket. But feeling it this way, no. And it's led to a lot of turnovers during his career, especially the 2011 season. I'm interested to see what Rex Ryan has cooked up for Matt Moore and how Matt Moore and Adam Gase will respond to it.
Hmm. All right. Richard asks, settle our office debate. Is the Rashad Jones injury more impactful to the team than Ryan Tannehill's?
I would say yes. And I will make this statement, which I made it on Twitter, and it was very controversial, and I stand by this statement. Ryan Tannehill's probably the third injury in terms of the hierarchy that the Dolphins have suffered. I would put Mike Pouncey at number one. You saw what this team was when they had the unicorn. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different team. You see what they are without him. They might still be winning, but by this much. Rashad Jones, you're struggling against the run. Your secondary is already good without him. He's an elite player, an elite safety. Imagine what they would be with him.
Yeah.
Rashad is a very dynamic playmaker. They're making plays, but do you have a playmaker on defense outside of Cameron Wake?
No, you really don't.
And then I will make this argument, and I do stand by it. I don't think you lose or win any more or any less games with Matt Moore as your starting quarterback compared in the previous 2 years. Matt can play.
Right.
He's shown you he can play. And showing you play 2011, showed you can play in the first game. Matt is going to give you, if you look at his career, he's going to blow a team out, or he's going to lose a close fourth quarter game. He's always going to be in it. but he's going to blow the team out or lose close fourth quarter game. Ryan Tannehill does not have that kind of ability. And I believe that the drop-off between Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore is a lot less significant than the drop-off between Rashad Jones and Bakari Rambo. So I'm going to have to say that Rashad Jones is a much bigger loss than Ryan Tannehill.
Well, the Dolphins have only lost one game with Bakari Rambo as a starter.
Okay.
And it's a bit of small sample size with Matt
Dolphins
Moore so
haven't
far.
Lost. Small haven't lost any games,
sample size. Small sample size. Okay.
And in fact, the most convincing victory of the year. Let's see if it carries over to Buffalo week.
So will it?
Yes, I'm predicting a Buffalo loss. Dolphins, I'm going to go with 24-20 Dolphins victory. I'm buying into the coaching. I'm buying into they'll figure out a way to scheme up Rex Ryan's special sauce. Mm-hmm. That's what Rex Ryan's defense is. It's all special sauce. And if you can counteract the special sauce, he won't have anything for you.
All right. I'm also predicting a Dolphins win 27-26, but I will say that LeSean McCoy scares me.
Yeah, LeSean scares me. He's already made the Pro Bowl. He's checking out.
Okay. Maybe so.
Already made Pro Bowl. Check it out.
If you are watching us live, hang tight.
What's LeSean McCoy got to play for? He's 1,000 yards, ready made Pro Bowl. Done. Dealer off the table.
Why don't you just sit him out then? Rex, just sit him out. If you're watching live, we'll answer your questions. Just send us them on Twitter using the hashtag XOmar, or just ask them here in the chat. And of course, you can listen to the X and Omar podcast. Just search iTunes for X's and Omar. Maybe we'll be talking about getting ready for the playoffs.
Always next week. Fun. Yeah, no, that's important.